I've been meditating a bit on worry the past several months. Worrying. Why do I do it? When do I do it? What does God have to say about worry? I think it's safe to say that we've all been through a time in our church that we would say we're in a prime place maybe to worry, where worry might flourish. God has allowed, and as a good Calvinist, I would say, chosen to bring many things to us. No doubt some of the difficulties we face as a church are because of our own sin, a lack of wisdom, or maybe a lack of faith. Let me say that again. No doubt some of the difficulties we face are because of our own sin, a lack of wisdom, and our lack of faith. How do I know that? Well, first, I see it in my own life. And secondly, because I can see it around me. As an elder in this church, I get to see and hear things that others don't necessarily see and hear. And believe me when I tell you that some of the problems we face are because of sin, because we aren't very wise in what we say or do, or because we lack faith. But what does the world say about worry? How do they face it? According to one study, here are some of the statistics on worry. For the average American, the average American spends 14.31 hours per week worrying. That comes out to 744 hours a year, 45,243 hours of worry in a lifetime, 1,885 days, or 5.2 years of worry. That's a lot of time to worry. What do we worry about? Of the top 10 things mentioned, these were the three that were most prevalent. Number one, money, finances. Number two, health or dying. And number three, relationships. Those are the three things that most Americans think about when they're worrying. Here's what some folks say. Irma Bombeck, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never gets you anywhere. Rick Warren said, the more you worship, the less you'll worry. You'll feel more patient and less pressure. That's pretty good. Corrie ten Boom, who arguably was somebody you can say could worry a lot and had reasons to worry, she probably had about 10 quotes on worry, and this was one of them. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. It's moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. That was Corrie ten Boom. Someone said, worry is itself an illness, since worry is an accusation against divine wisdom and a criticism of divine mercy. The good news is that Jesus understands our worries, our weaknesses and our sorrows. He knew what we would worry about, and he addressed it. In fact, the number one worry that we have is money. 11 of the 39 parables that Jesus gave dealt with money. Some say he talked about money more than any other subject. But Jesus promised to carry us through. He spoke enough about worry to know that we would struggle with it. So you would think that the God in whom we place our eternal salvation upon would be able to handle a few little trials on earth that are but for a moment, the scriptures tell us. They're a vapor, a lifespan of a simple blade of grass. We all know this to be true, but still we struggle living it. Now, the easy answer to our problems that cause us to worry would be possibly to say, stop worrying, God is sovereign. We like that phrase around here. We hear it quite a bit. It's good, and it's biblical. But I say to you that it's not enough. Now, before someone calls for a congregational meeting to vote me off of this session, let me explain. The sovereignty of God is enough, but it's not enough to glibly say to someone and then walk away, like there's nothing more to add. Because there's so much more beauty in God's sovereignty. It needs more description. And Jesus explains it many times. Here's one place where he gives us more explanation as to why we must trust God and his sovereignty. If you would turn to Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 32, we're going to read. Luke 12, 22 through 32. Now this comes off, these verses come right after the parable of the rich man who builds all his barns because he has a lot of money and he just wants to have more and more. Which comes on the heels of a question from somebody that comes to Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, can you help me out with this inheritance thing? Tell my brother to give me what I deserve. So it's all about money. And then Jesus says here in verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore, and the therefore again is pointing back, I think, to the parable that he just talked about the rich man. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall ye eat, neither for the body, what shall ye put on? The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Oh, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. And God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? And if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'd like to give you four reasons why we shouldn't worry. And they're going to be alliterated, not because I'm a fancy theologian, but I'm hopeful that it'll be helpful for you to remember these four things. So the first reason out of this passage that Jesus says not to worry is because you don't have the right priorities. You don't have the right priorities. So Jesus basically is saying here, even if you did have more money, you would spend it on all the wrong things, like that rich man in that parable did. The guy had it all wrong. He actually had the resources to make a difference, a bit of power with all his money, and he blew it. He was a fool. But Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear, or in other words, your physical things. No need to store it up needlessly. God's got it covered. Life is more than food and clothes. He's got the birds and the grass under control. They're little value, he said. How much more will he take care of us? It's the argument of the lesser to the greater. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Luke 18:29 through 30, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. Much more will be given than is given up in this age and the age to come. We can't really figure out what's important in life. We don't want to trust our heart that we would know what should be done by God in our life right now. We would have the wrong priorities. God knows what we need, when we need it, and how it will be delivered to us. So stop worrying because your priorities are wrong. Number two, don't worry because you don't have the power. So you don't have the priorities right and you don't have the power. Verse 25. Which of you with taking thought can add to a stature one cubit or one single hour to your lifespan, another version says. We can't even do the little things like add height to our bodies or add an hour to our life. That's a little thing on God's metric. That's just a little thing. Ba-ba. Not around here in Colorado. Colorado is known for this kind of worry. What do we look like? You know, it's a $30 billion industry that we spend on health care and alternative care products. That doesn't even include makeup and all that stuff. That's beyond the $10,000 per person we spend on regular health care. $16 billion we spend on plastic surgery. Now, this is in America. Adding something, taking away something. We don't like the way we look. We want to change it. We're obsessed with the way our bodies look. Or we're obsessed about living longer. What's life expectancy? It still hovers right around 80. A little bit more, maybe. Sometimes a little less. Can we really change the inevitable? We're going to die. And most of us aren't going to look very good when it happens. Save your money and your time. We don't have the power to conquer death. Jesus says here that how long you will live and your quality of life is such a little thing. Psalm 39:5, behold, you have my days as handbreadths and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Adding years to my life is nothing for God. You can expand it or you can take it away. That's what we'd say about what God can do. You don't have the power to control these little things like life. How can you handle the big things, Jesus is saying? Don't worry. God's got the lilies of the field better looking than the richest man in the world. Flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow had better clothes and look better than Solomon looked in all his glory, or whoever GQ says is the best looking dress guy now. Stop worrying, because you don't have the power to change things, even if you had the right priorities and knew what to change. Number three, you don't have the right perception. You don't have the right perception. We simply just don't know enough about what is going to happen that even if we had the right priorities and the power to change it, we would get it right. We don't know what will happen tomorrow and what we will need tomorrow. But God knows. Verse 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. You see, we can't say to God, God, you don't understand my problems. You can't help me because you don't know me and my issues. You don't understand the pain of losing a loved one. You don't understand why I need this to happen right now. But the scriptures say that God does know these things. So stop worrying. You don't have the perception or the knowledge to know what is needed. Lastly, don't worry because you don't have the passion. You don't have the passion or the love. Verse 28 says, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? See, God's love for us is great. Even if we have the right priorities and the power to aid and the knowledge to know what will happen tomorrow, we still would never be able to love like our God loves. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. The brothers and sisters, rest in that care. Rest in that love. God has the power and the passion to figure out what we need. He has the passion and love to give it. The passion to gladly give it. Verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to give it to you. He gladly gives it to you. He desires to take care of us. Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. And then in verse 9 of Ephesians 1, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. God has a special love for us. Remember, Todd mentioned that to us a couple weeks ago. We are special. We're the adopted ones. So what do we do with worry? If you were to walk away from something like this and think, I just need to ask God to take away all the worries, you'd be missing it. God gives us worries so that we can trust in him. And if the circumstances of today go away that you're worrying about, there will be something else tomorrow that will come. You know, I don't fly very often, maybe a few times a year, but back 5, 7, 10 years ago, I used to get a little bit concerned when I would fly. When the plane would start to rock around and bounce around, you know, I'd be the guy to kind of grab on. I didn't want to ever let on to it, but I would start to think about everything. Did the pilot check everything? You know, did they do all those inspections they're supposed to do? I mean, I remember when I'd walk into the plane, I'd look into the cockpit to see if the pilot was sober. Because I was concerned. But you know, and then it hit me, you know, I'm up here, and there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. I can't run to the front of the cockpit and take over. That would be disastrous. And by the way, that's what worry can do. It can also affect other people if you act upon your worries. Not only is it going to be disastrous for me, it would be disastrous for everyone else. But I remember just thinking, okay, I'm just going to give this to the Lord. I'm not going to worry about if the plane's going to work the way it's supposed to or they checked everything. I'm just going to put this all in the Lord's hands. But I'd say to you, if you don't have something to worry about in your life, there really is no need for God in your life. We're born with problems that should make us all worry. Hell is real, it's painful, and it will last forever. You should be concerned. God placed things in our lives that would cause us to worry or cause us to turn to Him. Don't expect your problems to go away, but expect God to show Himself powerful. Here's the answer to our concerns and worries. To the extent that we have faith in God is the extent to which that worry will not paralyze us or even affect us. It's really that simple. Jesus said it even here. He said that we need more faith. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." That's what he said to the disciples. Now, he didn't say ye of no faith, thankfully. He said ye of little faith. It's a faith little, not a faith less. And he mentions that four or five times in the Gospels. We need to have more faith in God, not less problems, not less things to worry about, but more faith in the God who sends them. You know, when Jesus was in the boat with the fishermen, and Pastor mentioned this in his email this week, if you read that, he could have sent the calm waters 30 minutes before, an hour before. He could have made that trip very smooth sailing, but he chose not to do it because he wanted them to get something better than a few waves crashing against the boat. That's what it is in our life. He wants us to have something better. So he sends the big waves. He sends the difficulties. He sends the problems so that we'll turn to him more in faith. May God increase our faith in him. May we trust him with the priorities, the power, the perception, and the passion. May we trust in the beauty and fullness of his sovereignty. I'm so thankful the pastor read Psalm 46, or he mentioned that in his email. I'd like to close with that. I wanted to read that to you. It's a great passage to think about. It encapsulates the answer to worry. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Yes, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning that you are our God. We are grateful that you are sovereign, that you selectively and carefully and lovingly bring things into our life that cause us to turn to you. You bring things into our world to make us concerned and worried, not so we would worry, but that we would turn to you in faith. And our faith would grow through the perseverance. Oh God, thank you for the trials. Thank you for the things to worry about. Lord, I pray that in the times when we struggle with this thought, that you would turn our hearts to the promises and to your works, that we would be reminded that you are God, and that we would be still and to watch. And Lord, now as maybe we think of things throughout this week or this day or this morning or this hour that have us a bit worried, or other sins, that you would bring those to mind, may we confess them to you, trusting that you will forgive us.